let's get started. Daryl, would you read the agenda for us?
We are, first we call to order. We'll start with the introductions, with announcements of public comment periods, identification of, and location of Nebraska Open Meeting Act, lunch arrangements, and other logistics, and reading of the meeting agenda, which we're doing right now. 9:05, approval of the August 14th, 2010 minutes. At 9:10, we have our focus topic, our technology services, NCBBI's tech team, with introduction by Carlos Servon, with Jan Brandt, Nancy Kaufman, and Larry Olson. They will be the presenters. 10:15, we have public comment. 10:30 is a break. 10:45, report from the chair. 10:55, report from the executive director. At 11:25,
Administrative Services.
Administrative Services, Edge, formerly DOS, NIS, update. 11:40, CAP complaints.
Excuse me, you missed 11:30.
11:30, NFB Newsline.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. 11:40, CAP complaints or issues. 11:45, update on Nebraska business enterprises. Randolph Shepherd, vending program. 11:50, update on certificate designed for service provider awards. 12 o'clock is lunch. We continue with old business at 12:45 with a budget update. 1:15, public comment. New business at 1:25, communication between commissioners and employees. 1:35 is public comment. 1:45, discussion of staff restructuring. 1:55, set 2011 meetings and focus topics. 2 o'clock, final announcements. 2:05, adjourn. Focus topic for February of 2011 will be the state plan, which we, for those that aren't here, those that aren't normally at the meetings, it's kind of our state plan for budget and different things. Well, that's what that is.
Okay. Welcome. Thank you for coming. We'll start with the introductions and just a very brief who you are, a city, and if you are here with any organization or group, you can state that as well. I guess I can start. I'm Julie Johnson, and I'm currently from York, and I'm the chairperson of the board.
Where are we going?
You.
Okay, I'm Nancy Altman. I'm from Hastings, Nebraska, and currently serving on the board for the commission.
My name is Mike Hansen. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm serving on the Board of Commissioners as the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska's representative.
And I'm Jim Urock. I am also obviously on the board. That's why I've set up here. And I represent the interest of the American Council of the Blind in Nebraska.
I'm Darrell Walla, one of the commissioners, and I read the agenda, and I apologize for having to elaborate on the state plan. It's the old teacher in me, and I realized, as I started saying something, I realized, oh, they don't need to know that right now.
I'm Pearl Van Zandt, Executive Director of the Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, and I am here in Lincoln.
I'm Kathy Stevens. I'm Administrative Assistant for the Commission, and I'm from Lincoln.
Gilbert Paulson, I do driving here in Lincoln, and I'm doing recording this morning.
Excuse me one second. As a reminder, that was Kathy Stevens just before Hubert, and everyone, please do speak up for the introductions, and also later if you have questions or comments, so that the, you know, for the sake of the recording, and also so we can all hear you. Thank you.
If I might interject, I have a handheld microphone that I can bring to you, so that we get the best quality voice on the recording.
Okay.
Carlos.
Carlos Servan, work for the Commission, Deputy Director for VR Services, Lincoln.
Katie Redenbaugh, I'm from Omaha, and I'm here with the ACB group from Omaha.
Patosh Floyd, Lincoln, Nebraska, Director, Nebraska Center for the Blind, with Commission for the Blind.
Connie Daly, Lincoln, Nebraska, Commission for the Blind.
Chris Turner, North Platte, National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska, Vice President of the Platte Valley Chapter.
Monica Tripp, I am a new counselor here for the Omaha office, Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, and in training.
Mark Bolger, I'm from Omaha. I'm with the American Council of the Blind.
Glenn Kane, NCBBI here in Lincoln.
Pat Fisher, Accessibility.net, Omaha.
Everyone in front of us is gone, huh?
No, we'll start at the back okay. And then come back up.
I'm Nancy Kaufman, Technology Specialist for the Lincoln District.
Jan Brandt, Technology Specialist for the North Platte District. I live in Kearney.
Murray Olson, Technology Specialist for the Omaha District.
Gwen McCulloch from ABC.
I'm Carol Jablisco. I'm president of our local chapter, the American Council of the Blind.
I'm Brett Epworth, and I'm chapter representative for the Omaha Omaha Council of the Blind.
Yeah.
Can I speak? Yeah. Cheryl Aracy, American Council of the Blind representative.
I'm Don Pullman. I'm Vice President of the Lincoln Chapter of the American Council of the Blind.
I'm Janice Schaefer. I'm Recording Secretary for the American Council of the Blind Lincoln Chapter.
I'm Shirley Allen, our Recording Secretary of the American Council of the Blind of Nebraska.
Janice Compton from Omaha with the American Council of the Blind of Nebraska.
Glennie Weiland from Omaha, Vice President of the State Organization of the American Council for the Blind.
Howard Compton from Omaha, Treasurer of the American Council of the Blind of Nebraska.
Lori Plouts, and I'm a client with the Commission here in Lincoln.
Everyone?
Ann Lynch Pelican. I'm with the American Council for the Blind Nebraska, and I am chairing the 2011 convention in Columbus this year.
And hopefully you won't have laryngitis then.
I'm Terry Brainfoter, American Council of the Blind, Lincoln Chapter President.
I'm Chris Brainfoter, Lincoln for the American Council of the Blind Chapter.
That's everybody.
And that's everyone. Thank you all for coming. That's, I think, a record for us. More announcements. We will, first about the recordings. The meetings are recorded, and the microphone that if you, during public comment times, if you speak, wait for the microphone. That isn't so that we in this room can hear you. It's so that you're, will be recorded to the best sound quality that we can. We do have public comment time scattered throughout the day. I will try to make additional comment times as time allows, as that we're able. If you want to say something, please state your name, and I will call on you so that we can remain orderly somewhat. let's see. The Nebraska Open Meeting Act is available in this room for you to review, and that's in Braille and print. And Kathy is going to tell us about lunch arrangements.
We're going to have Da Vinci's deliver pizza and salad at lunchtime.
Okay, and that is at noon. Hopefully, I will do my very best to be on time.
Do we need to tell where restrooms are?
Sure.
Restrooms are way down the hall. Yeah. You go out and you have to jog. You turn right, go to the inn, jog left, jog right.
and then it's down quite a ways. You'll hear pop machines on the left at the point where the where you turn into the restrooms.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other announcements?
I think that's all.
I think that's all.
Kathy, did you ask about if people are staying for lunch?
I think I'm going to need to order some more pizza. We've got a great crowd today, so.
Three of us will not be here.
Right.
So if you're not going to stay for lunch, can you raise your hand?
Oh, okay. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. About 8 less.
8 less, so it's still 20.
There may be a few people that come. I talked to one lady yesterday who might come later.
Okay. I'll order more, a break.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, well, we will proceed with our focus topic, which is technology and
minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
See, she's taking my advice. Put an accelerator on.
You guys. Okay, we will discuss and approve. Is there any discussion of the August meeting minutes?
I move the approval.
Second.
Okay. We have all received those minutes and reviewed them at our leisure, and so I have a motion and a second for approval of the August board meeting minutes. So
we
need a roll call vote. So Mike?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Daryl?
Yes.
And Jim?
Yep.
And I'll vote yes.
And Madam Chair? I think it's important to let everybody know that those minutes are on our website, and you can either hear them through the recording like we're doing today, or they will be written out as Kathy Stevens has done for us. So they are available if you're interested. They're on the NCBVI website to review.
Thank you. Now we'll move on to our focus topic, which is technology. And Carlos Servan, I believe, is going to introduce the speakers for that.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, I sent you some information for you to have ahead of time, and I hope you just got it without any problem.
Yes.
Otherwise,
yes.
I will be hearing from you.
You're right.
We are going to have a one or two clients, I think, talk to you also about the services we provided to them. I think Prof forwarded some letters to you about some clients who couldn't come, but they wanted to express some of their...
Yeah.
So that too. And I want to give a little bit of a background in general. Prof, feel free to interact if
okay.
I miss a thing. It used to be that we wouldn't provide too much technology support or buy computers to clients except if they were in the field of computers. I heard some stories that in some occasions they couldn't get a job because the agency wouldn't buy equipment. Back in those days, it was debated whether or not the agency should buy because the employer are supposed to be buying. And in reality, they are supposed to, but we also thought that it doesn't make sense for us to keep fighting with the employer to wait for them to buy the equipment when we could buy it and then the client would be served. So we started to do that. We also started to purchase more note takers. You guys remember those Braille notes?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, the Braille speaks, mm-hmm. which in the beginning didn't have internet, all those fancy devices, plus didn't have either the Braille displays. It became more and more popular, and we started to purchase more and more of those. And it became a moment in which we were a little too liberal, so we needed to start revising and going over some of the practice, and that's why we came up with some of the technology guidelines that you guys read. So each time we write a guideline or a policy, the counselors usually discuss that, the technology staff members discuss that. Sometimes we hear complaints from clients. We talk about that during the supervisors' meetings, during the technology team meetings. We discuss that with Pearl, with Bill. So it takes a process. In many situations, it's just misinterpretation, and we try to solve the issue. But in many other situations, we need to come up with some new guidelines or policies, and that's how we do business. We try to make it not too strict or write it in a rule. That's why we call it usually guidelines or policy. So we could be flexible as well. And the services that we provide to clients are individualized, so there are always exceptions according to the individual. And of course, confidentiality is always an issue there. With that, I think I'm going to ask if there is I think we had a couple of clients who were going to come. For sure, one is Lori, and I remember. Mm-hmm. If you would introduce yourself again and mention the type of services we provided to you.
Okay. Well, my name is Lori Flouts, and I do live here in Lincoln. And I've been a client for the commission here in Lincoln for 12 years. And just to give you a little bit of background about why I need services, my occupation has been in the upholstering area, and I've had my own business for about 27 years. And 17 years ago, I was diagnosed with Stargardt's. So I knew there were going to be some changes in my life and along the way as things progressed. And I found out I needed some services or some help when my business got slow and I needed to go apply for applications and found I couldn't read them. So it led me to call the commission, and Connie and Shane came out and helped me find employment. And I briefly worked at Duncan Aviation, which the only reason I'm telling you this is because it showed me how important it was for me to try to stay self-employed and work at home, because it was very difficult for me to work in another setting, and I couldn't work at the level that other people did because it takes me longer to do things. So it was very important, and Connie always encouraged me to try to stay with the job that I knew and that I have done for many years and enjoy. But it got to the point to where paperwork, I could no longer write legibly, and it would be embarrassing for me to try to do estimates and invoices and things to my customers. So Connie did try to encourage me to look into learning how to use a computer, which scared me to death. But I did finally, it took me about a year to make up my mind, and I bought a computer, and then they set me up with the basic things to learn, such as talking typing teacher, and then the introduction to JAWS. And at that time, then, Nancy Kaufman came out, and she's been very diligent and has worked with me for about a year and a half on learning to use my computer. And to get to the point of what the services have done for me is learning to use JAWS, because in my business, now I'm able to contact customers through email back and forth. I can get instructions from decorators that I've worked with. And Nancy helped me set up all my business forms on the computer so I can fill them out. I can do invoices and my estimates and then send them through email rather than having to try to write something out. You know, when I'm at a customer's house, it gets a little embarrassing when I write as large as I do, and plus I need time to figure things up. So it's always easier to say that, well, give me your email address, and then I will send a copy of your estimate to you. So, and I've learned to use spreadsheets and things like that. So it's really helped keep me independent and not have to rely on too many other people, that I can do a lot more of this myself since I have been able to use a computer in my business. And it has been very helpful.
Good job.
Any questions for Lori?
Thank you.
I don't think so. Well, I'm just curious, probably isn't so much blind related, but you know, you said you've had this business for 27 years. I'm wondering, you know, the current economic, you know, the reupholstering thing, that seems like to me maybe that would be a better option for some people to have that done rather than go out and buy new furniture with, you know.
By degrees, it really depends on, because it can cost as much, but a lot of people that have had furniture for a long time, they like the pieces they have, yeah. And they don't always like the new stuff that's out there. So it is advantageous to keep an older piece because they're more well-made than newer things. But I found that I've had to limit myself as to what I do, and I can't accomplish as much in a given day, or there are certain tasks I can't do anymore that I used to, but I do rely and do have help from other people that can do those things for me. But it's nice that I can still do my own paperwork, and at tax time I look forward to being able to pull everything up on the computer and make it a little bit easier. Because the whole goal, Nancy said, was to try to become paper-free, basically.
Mike?
Sure.
Lori?
Yes.
You talked quite a little bit about how the computer has helped you out in staying in contact with your customers and in staying organized and being able to communicate better with them, more professionally with them.
Mm-hmm.
What about the other aspects of your business with the actual physical upholstering? I'm not familiar with what's involved. I'm sure there's a needle and a thread and fabric and cutting and so on. But is there anything that the commission has done for you technology-wise to help with those aspects as well?
Well, yeah, I kind of skipped over some of that because I didn't know how much time I had here. But, yeah, when they first started sending someone out, Deanna, I can't remember her last name, from Kearney came out. And there are things, different skills. They really weren't technically speaking or technology, except that the first machine they gave me was an OVAC camera.
Okay.
And that did help me because when the magnifiers no longer worked, that was the first piece of equipment that they gave me to use so I could continue to read instructions. And actually, because it was a camera that was on an arm that moved up and down, I could even put things underneath that I would have to do any hand stitching. And I could do it that way. And so that was kind of the first technology that was given to me to help continue in my business. And at first they thought I might be able to use that camera on my sewing machine, but I've learned other techniques to do non-visually, to you know, for guides and things to help me be able to accomplish those tasks.
Okay. Great.
I think it's fabulous you have your own business. I think that's a lot of people's ambition, is to have their own business as such.
Well, I felt it was a blessing when it was given to me many years ago. Everything just fell into place because I needed to learn how to be able to support my family, and this was something that I really do feel was a blessing. And when I found out I had a visual impairment, I thought, well, the good Lord gave me this occupation. If I am to do something different, then He'll lead me into that. And so, but I've been able to do this still and continue to on a part-time basis, which I enjoy. I did want to briefly mention, though, that my computer skills has helped me also, because the last two summers I have worked under Carlos in the wages program. And if I had not had the computer skills, I really don't think I would have been able to do that job, because we do, we have to do our staff notes at the end of our shift, and we did student evaluations, and even to get paid, we had to fill out our timesheets on the computer. So everything is going more paper-free, so it was even helpful in that respect, that it helped me have another job also.
Terrific. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good job.
Okay, we tried to get several clients, and that was one of the reasons why they sent the letters instead. But do we have any other client who was going to testify or who would like?
Nancy Kaufman.
Sure.
Okay, then.
Nancy's a client.
Go ahead, Nancy.
I didn't think she was a client.
No.
The reason that two of the clients that you, well, one of them, I don't know if you've received her letter yet. I might have received it too late to get it out yesterday, but the reason they are not here is they are at the University of Nebraska Medical Center Behavioral Research Survey Center working. So that's why they're not here.
Yeah. Well, maybe probably if there are more questions for the staff members, if we have here, I guess, a supervisor too. If Fatosh also directs the center, they do provide technology training, as you saw in the report. The three staff members for technology cover the whole state. If you have any questions for them?
Carlos, just a second. Julie, I read the letter from Julian Bossart. I read the letter from Karen Lemon.
Yeah.
Who is the third?
I have no idea.
Nancy
okay.
Kramer.
Okay.
Okay.
Could we get that one read so that we...
Well, I think we'll read all three. Here, okay. Do you want to do that? We could do that now.
Because I think that might spur some additional questions that Carlos
right.
is asking for.
I didn't get the one from Jolene Bossart. I don't believe
that came in yesterday
oh, okay.
afternoon, late morning,
okay.
sometime.
I did get the
yes.
one from Karen Lemon.
Why don't we have those three letters read or briefly reviewed? Pearl, do you have those?
Let's see, did I?
I did not send Nancy's to you, I sent it to Carlos. If I need to go run one off, I can do that.
Let me look for a minute and see if I have those here. But I thought, could we have each of the technology staff say just a few words about their area and their locale, and then I'll find these letters.
Sure, okay. That would be great.
Yeah.
So Nancy, Jan, and Larry, do you want to talk about what you do a little bit? Anything you want to share?
I think Nancy left.
No, Nancy's here. They're all here. Larry, why don't you start?
My name is Larry Olson. I'm out of the Omaha district.
Could you speak up just a smidgen more?
Maybe stand up so it'll carry.
Sure.
Thank you.
A lot of the technology that we work with is new. Some of it's been around a while, but it's constantly changing. And there's always the need for education. There's a lot of people that use magnification and JAWS and Window Eyes and Zoom Text and Magic and OpenBook and Kurzweil, and then all the wonderful devices that we have, like the BrailleSense and the Victor. And so a lot of technology, as it changes, so does the accessible technology that we use in addition to that. The most recent change has been Windows 7 coming out, and a lot of companies are moving to that. And in that vein, they also upgrade to Microsoft Office 2007, 2010. And I don't know if you've used it yet, but it's completely different than 2003 in the fact that it has ribbons now. So a lot of the time, it's an ongoing education thing, you know. You're used to using 2003 a certain way, and you really have to figure out how to use the new one because it's completely different. And that's one of the services that we do provide. And sometimes it's just a matter of saying, well, this is the shortcut key to do it. Other times it's not so easy, and it takes just a little while to learn the nuances of whatever that technology is. In the same, there's the new iPal that's out. We've been working with that a lot. The Pearl camera is out. Sometimes when you get this technology, it's wonderful and it promises a lot. And in reality, it falls short. And one of the things that we do is we find alternative methods to get exactly the information that we need in order to do our job. And I don't know, have you got anything else to add to that?
Actually,
sure.
Excuse me, before we go to the next one, I want to read one letter because I got it to open and I've been having trouble with my technology. this one.
So all we have it.
This is from Karen Lemon, yeah, out in Hay Springs. Is that where she lives?
Scotts Bluff, isn't it?
Well, she's the Scotts Bluff area. But
she's north of Scotts Bluff.
North of Scotts. Okay. Logistically, it does not work for me to attend the meeting, which will be on Saturday. Let's see. I do not know the issue. I do know that one of the issues you will be working with is the technology that is offered by the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. I am a client of the Commission and would like to comment on how the NCBVI has helped me by working with me and providing to me current technological support. When I began to lose my sight at the age of 46, I was quite settled into my 18th year of teaching high school students. My teaching career had enjoyed many turns in direction, and I was diversified enough in my education to enjoy each assignment.
My true love in teaching was working with students in computer graphics. Because this area is so visual, as my sight deteriorated, it became impossible to maintain my own expectations of what my classes had to offer. Along with many of my other hobbies and interests, I felt that I would have to give up the computer entirely. I had no idea that a computer could be successfully operated by not using vision. The NCBVI helped me obtain the necessary hardware and software to continue to use the computer. Jan Brandt, who has displayed to me the patience of Job, provided me the necessary lessons to learn to operate the computer. Today I use the computer every day, sometimes more than once a day, to stay in touch with the world through email and Newsline and the internet. I use it for research for my part-time summer job at Fort Robinson, where I have written the historical tours for the Nebraska Game and Parks, and also have given the tours for many years. I also utilize the computer with my work for the National Federation of the Blind. On a more personal level, I find recipes, which are conveniently read to me, and I use it often to help me find music for my church, as I enjoy singing and can no longer read the hard copy music. The NCBVI has not only helped me with the computer technology, but many other things as well. I use the open book often, and it has been a mainstay in my study to become a medical transcriptionist. I also have benefited from the technology through the NCBVI, as they help me obtain a portable CCTV, which I utilize at my work and in my home. Sadly, even though a tool that I truly hoped to master, the PactMate, became faulty, and I did not reap the advantages of this tool. I was doing it with some other combo. Thank you. I intended to have the convenience of the PacMate in my part-time work with Fontenelle Tours in designing bus tours. My goal was to be able to keep the scheduling of those tours, addresses, and phone numbers in a quick and convenient referral place. Unfortunately, this technology, which Jan had so diligently worked with me on perfecting, became flawed in the keyboard, and we were told at the NFB convention that it would probably not be feasible to pursue its repair. This, of course, is an inconvenience and does not reflect on the wonderful services provided by the NCBVI. I give full credit to Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired for getting me to the place I am now. I will continue my part-time work, but now I will be entering a new chapter of teaching to our future teachers at Chadron State College. I will take what I have learned from Jan and through the commission to this classroom. My students will understand, as they go to the K-12 classrooms, what is available to blind and visually impaired students as far as technology. I will demonstrate what I have learned to them and provide resources to them. I will be emphasizing the work of the NCBVI in our state and hope to impress on these teachers the wonderful work that you do. I hope that the NCBVI will continue its work and know the importance of having technology provided to the blind. It is our link to our independence and our connection to the outside world. Had NCBVI not come to my rescue and provided me with the hardware and the knowledge to operate it, I would not be able to do the things that I do and work alongside sighted people. I truly thank you for your work, as I never would have thought that I would be teaching non-visual techniques and technology at a college level a decade ago. I will be pursuing this direction, and it is good to know that the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired is standing ready with such very capable people to help the blind and visually impaired. Please keep up the good work of providing technology to the blind and visually impaired. I truly believe it is the most important work you do in providing independence to the blind. A very sincere thank you, Karen Lemon.
Okay.
Thank you. And then while Jan speaks, or if there's comments on this, whatever, and I'll look for the other.
Okay. Questions, comments about the letter?
Madam Chair, I just would say it sounds like that I happen to know Karen, and she's doing even more than I realized she was doing, and I thought she was doing a lot, but I was aware that she was going to start teaching at the college, and I think that's just absolutely fabulous. She's doing a very good job using what she has learned from the commission.
I want to ask a question, Darrell Waller, one of the commissioners. I don't know how to word this exactly. I don't want people to like endorse any particular product or so forth. But that was an interesting statement about the PacMate. So my question for the panel here is, what's the fate of the PacMate? I use mine regularly, and I'm sitting here thinking, if mine goes, I'm really dead meat. I mean, I don't know how I could function without it. Are they still using it, or are they coming up with alternatives? I guess that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out.
I think it was Nancy.
The future.
Was it Nancy?
Nancy.
Yes. Go ahead.
We got the mic back here. The PacMate had an update this year. I do think that the hardware is going to have to change because mm-hmm. I don't know if you've gone shopping lately for the memory cards that it takes.
Oh, yeah.
Like interesting little shopping trip. Could be a long one. But
yeah, I know what you mean.
I do think that the hardware will need to be updated. Mm-hmm. I also think that with things like netbooks and Bluetooth Braille displays,
okay.
This agency, particularly if people are better typists than they are Braillists, we are trying to move people in that direction, partly because if your netbook breaks, shucks, I am out $500 in a trip to Best Buy. If your Braille note breaks, you're out $3,000 in 6 weeks. So there are definite advantages to going with mainstream technology. And I think for people who prefer Braille input, options are also becoming available to do that with more mainstream technology, and that is something that I'm sitting here feeling pretty humble about because I am not as versed in it as I should be and want to be. There's always a couple 3,000 things to learn. So,
Mike.
And here's Jan.
Well, just 1 minute,
Jan. I think what's really important to do with your note taker, Darrell, is you need to back up your information, have it in a place other than your note taker. And when the time comes that you need to replace your note taker, take a look at what's out there and the cost of those different devices, whether it's another note taker or whether it's a netbook or whatever may work for you.
I do appreciate those answers because I know there's a trend, you know, towards some of these other things. And that's why I asked the question. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, Mike had something?
Yeah. Now, Nancy, and I had read this in the information that Carlos sent, that you guys kind of have a preference that towards, unless there's a specific need for like a Braille, refreshable Braille display note taker type technology, that you will try to encourage people to go with a laptop or some sort of a PC instead, computer instead. And as you stated, there's some pretty compelling reasons why. There's cost reasons, there's maintenance reasons, there's reasons of just functionality, the mainstream functionality. But with the purchase of, from the standpoint of somebody of somebody providing that type of technology for themselves, possibly not going through the commission to purchase it. They might purchase it on their own, or maybe they're purchasing upgrades to something that they've had that they've gotten through the commission, some sort of a braille note or for the point of the conversation. When they go to do their taxes each year, it's my recollection that we can write that off on our taxes because that's specialized technology that we had to purchase to do, you know, our job or go to school or whatever the case may be.
If you go long form.
Yeah, oh, but it's possible.
That's right. Typically how writing something off works, Jim.
Right, I understand that.
Are you still able to do that when you're not purchasing specialized technology, when you're instead purchasing mainstream technology that isn't specifically designed for the blind?
No. Only the speech part.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that you could write off. That's a given.
Okay.
And or the braille display.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
So your $500, usually what I end up going with is a lower end laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I guess I kind of feel like if the price is right, I can eat it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair.
Yes.
I have the second letter.
Okay, just 1 minute.
Yeah, whenever you're ready.
I'm thinking, too, I mean, and we're kind of getting off into something that's not really here, but I also, if a person is self-employed, you can anything that is a business expense that's needed to run that business, whether or not it's adaptive technology or not.
Sure.
So it would totally depend on the nature of the circumstance. And then Nancy has something, and then Pearl is ready with our second letter.
Okay, I'll try to be real brief. You talked about, you know, doing the netbook and stuff. I did purchase on my own a netbook type computer to have, and I was so used to doing, we're talking the dark ages now, type and speak. That thing, you know, instant on, really quick to get into whatever you needed to get into. Where my netbook, it just seems like it takes forever for it to come up. I'd be interested, you know, maybe not now, but down the line I may email you guys as to, you know, what would be a good alternative to for a netbook, because they're so much smaller and, you know, easier to take along than a laptop. Which brand, or if there's specific things that I can do to make it come up quicker and whatever, because, I mean, it literally takes, 3 and 4 and 5 times as long to come up as my desktop computer. It just really is slow coming back up. So, but I will, you know, that's a personal thing, so I will contact you about that to see what your ideas are on that. And that's what I had in mind.
You know, that kind of brings up one thing we've struggled with over the years, is that the sighted person can go into local stores and or community college and get instruction on and advice about hardware and software. Blind individuals that are either using the adaptive equipment or that have, say, different programs they're going to put on their mainstream products that can slow it down, the folks in the stores don't know anything.
No.
And so our staff end up getting a lot of questions that really aren't specific to the mainstream. Don't mean to pick on you, Nancy.
Yeah, that's
but,
okay.
You know, and we're point. We're actually happy to, you know, and sometimes it's a quick answer, but it got to where the amount of questioning we were getting and help we were wanting, I mean, people were wanting from our staff, mm-hmm. it was just a real time mm-hmm. issue.
Right.
So that's been, we still really do struggle with that.
Then might I suggest you refer them to accessibility.net then?
Yeah, we refer them to a wide range of, well, not mm-hmm. that there's a lot of resources out there, but
no, that's a plus.
But other resources, absolutely.
Right.
But it is true. A lot of people look to our staff as the ones that are, and, you know,
So yeah. Anyway, that's just something we struggle
and
with.
The first thing is, you know, the clients of the commission are, you know, the ones that come first.
Right.
You know, because most of them are trying to get a job, and that's really what we do want to focus on.
But yeah.
Right. And maybe this question is for Carlos. It's kind of on the same lines, but how do you help a client to choose between all of the different brands and products that are available without saying, you know, company A is better, you should purchase that? Because I just don't know that it's possible or economically feasible to have, you know, examples, like, you know, going into Best Buy and checking out what they have, like a sighted person can do. It's really tough to do that when you're blind and you need those adaptive technologies, because there's not a lot of places you can go and look at them side by side.
This is Jan Brandt. May I address that
you,
one?
Sure.
Thank you.
Hang on one second.
Then I got a comment.
Off the hook, Carl.
If you happen to live in the metropolitan area of Omaha or Lincoln or somewhere close by, there are places such as accessibility.net or Magnification Resources here in Lincoln that you can go, and they have showrooms where you can actually see what's available. Statewide, there's a program called AT for All, and the web address for that is AT4all.com. And if you sign up at this website, we actually have a lot of the various note takers and assistive devices available for loan or for demonstration. And sometimes that means you can borrow something for 30 days and give it a try. So if you want to look at a HumanWare brand of note taker versus a Freedom Scientific note taker versus a Braille Sense, you can take a look at all of those items through this program.
Okay. Hey, Carlos, also just to expand a little into that, one of the things that I also promote is have the clients talk to other consumers, encourage them to join, for instance, the ACB, the NFP, and talk to them about those things. I remember when I was going to decide what to use, either a Braille Note or a PacMate, I read a lot of articles, and I was still confused.
I had the same exact experience.
Right. So what I did was talk to some friends and decided with the PacMate, not because it was better than the other, but because some of my common friends were using them, and I feel comfortable calling them at any time, and they will teach me how to use it. But that was the only reason.
Yeah, and after driving myself crazy, I looked at a lot of different products. I read everything I could find. I talked to, you know, a couple dozen people. And at the end of the whole mess, it was like six of one, half dozen of another. It was just flip a coin, it felt like. And so I ended up going with what I had been using previously because I knew how to use it. But it's sort of that same thing, you know, relying on usability. Yes, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I know I bought my digital book player for that reason, that it was something that, even though I think there's a better product out there, I went with the one I did because all my friends had it and I could ask them questions. But Nancy, Jan, or Larry, is it a safe comment to say that if somebody were to come to you today and need a screen, and it's obvious that they need screen reading technology or they need screen enlargement software, that there's kind of a default answer? Just if they want something specific, they can't, obviously you're willing to help them with it and give them the best product for them, but that there's a kind of a base starting point, a generic answer, in the sense that there's obviously products that the staff here is more familiar with and are more able to support better just because of their experiences. And I don't know if that's a true statement or not. I guess that's why I'm asking.
This is Larry. At one time, there may have been. I don't know.
Okay.
But right now, if somebody comes in and they need screen magnification, there are a number of products out there. Each one has pros and cons. Mm-hmm. And each of us, or we as a commission, we have essentially a little checklist that we go through, and it's like, what are your needs? What do you need right now? And that's one of the checks that we have. What do you need to be able to do this job? And if software or technology doesn't do it, that's not going to be in the realm of what we're going to be looking at. We need to meet needs and requirements right now, as well as a year or two from now. So when we're looking at products, there is no default answer that we always go to.
Or were you done, Larry?
I'm done.
Okay. I don't want to cut you off.
Fatosh. Yeah, speak a second. Go ahead. Thank you.
Oh, go ahead, Fatosh.
I maybe that is true for magnification, but for speech software, that's not the case. At the center, we use JAWS. Yes, we have window eyes. We have SA to go. And other things that if people are interested, we always teach. We have a Mac. But all of our computers have JAWS. Simply that at the apartments, we have JAWS. So when I was in Missouri, it was window eyes. And Arctic was at the very pass. You know, so I think in every state, there's a tendency because the people who are teaching know that product the most, and so the clients learn that product, so therefore consumers know that mm-hmm. product the best. So I think that it is a tendency to not promote one over another, but because everybody uses that product, I think it's a tendency for us to recommend that product.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Fatosh. I think that is a true statement. Are you ready for another letter?
She's got the letter.
Jan Brandt had a comment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, with the magnification programs, there's a lot less of a learning curve there. And so we do use a lot of different magnification programs. With the screen readers, there's a longer learning curve. And we are better versed with JAWS, but we do use other screen reading technology in job situations that basically didn't work well with JAWS.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to the next
one. Okay, slide. This letter is from Jolene Bosshart. She's from Lincoln. To whom it may concern, my first introduction to technology services, if you want to call them that, was when I first attended the University of Nebraska at Lincoln in 1971. At that time, NCBVI was actually services for the visually impaired, and my counsel there provided me with a new Perkins brailler and a manual typewriter, which I faithfully carried from class to class whenever I needed to take a test. I also used the Slate and Stylus to take all of my classroom notes, a technology medium which I use to this day in my job as a telephone interviewer for the University of Nebraska Medical Center. NCBVI also played a big part technologically in setting up my company, JB Translations, in 1995, after I stopped teaching Braille and computer at the Orientation Center. They furnished me with a Teal Braille printer, JAWS speech, and OpenBook scanning software. I could never have made JB Translations the successful entity it is today without their help. When I also took on a part-time job as a telephone interviewer, JAWS again played an integral part in making that job accessible for me. Many people, including Nancy Kaufman, Connie Daly, and Larry Mackey, provided support for those of us who work there as blind people. Nancy Kaufman has come to the job site on innumerable occasions to script our program and tweak it so it works effectively for us. Probably the most meaningful contribution technologically from NCBVI was when they helped buy a used Braille note taker for me. Throughout my experience with them, NCBVI counselors have demonstrated a strong commitment to Braille and accessible technology. This Braille note helped to fulfill one of my lifelong dreams, to be able to go to the library or a website and get the book I wanted to read when I wanted to read it. Of course, this is not perfect yet, but sites such as WebBraille and Bookshare are making great strides toward the fulfillment of this goal.
NCBVI's counselors and staff have worked throughout my technological experience to provide me with excellent technology support and services. I am truly appreciative of their consistent commitment to making life more accessible to those of us who are blind in Nebraska. Sincerely, Jolene Poshart, CEO, JB Translations.
Okay, good job. Awesome.
And I don't have the third letter.
Well, that's, I think we'll be okay.
Okay.
We don't.
Well, the third letter will be part of the record with the materials that are posted to the website from this meeting.
So.
And I like to.
I don't know if I have it either.
Well, you'll get it.
Yeah,
you'll
get we'll add it.
I also had to make a comment. It was suggested earlier, I think somebody asked the question about how do you determine what piece of technology to use. Let me give you a case in point. A couple of years ago, what Nancy did with me back in Omaha. She had decided that I needed some sort of technology as far as note-taking, since I was stubborn and didn't want to learn Braille. And it's hard to believe I'm stubborn, but that's, you know, her. Anyway, so what she did, you know, because she had suggested, you know, she took me out to accessibility.net in Omaha and had me look at the PacMate. And then she took me over to Best Buy and had me look at a netbook and pointed out the advantages of both and so on and so forth. She indicated that if you're not familiar with the PacMate, that might be, you know, grounds to learn software, key functionality, and that sort of thing. Whereas with a netbook, she said, you're already familiar with Word 2003. I won't upgrade to 7. And the keystrokes and so on and so forth. But so we went to Best Buy and we looked at some of the, you know, netbooks they had, about 2 or 3 or 4 different types, and I made a decision. And that's a good way to determine what you want, is to go out and look at the stuff and then compare it with what you know, what you're willing to invest in learning, and then making a decision that way.
Definitely. When that's possible.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But there are so many note takers, and it seems like there's a new one cropping up about every 6 weeks. You know, there's some new thing. Yeah. And
the only complaint I have about the netbook is Windows 7.
Can I say something?
Do you want to wait for them?
Yeah, but I'm okay? Sorry. Can you give me
your... I'm sorry, but I was just going to...
Your first name.
I'm sorry, Pat Fisher, but a dealer, people call up and want something. I always say, I recommend that what your friends, the people you work with, your commissions, you know, the NFB, the AC, you know, wherever, whatever your friends are using, that's what you want to use. Because when it's Friday night and it's midnight and it doesn't work, you can call a friend. And besides, everybody, I mean, that's kind of like, I like Chevys, you know. I hang out with Chevy people. I mean, we all can help each other tweak cars. And it's the same with technology. And I think, you know, in the big picture, technology is great. You know, it all does its job, some better than the others. But I agree with, like, what Fatosh said. I mean, ask your friends and, you know, and Mike. I mean, just that's what I think.
Okay. Just a question and a follow-up on that. First of all, I just want to thank Accessibility.net and Pat and all his services and Jonathan Ross.
Oh, he's great.
If he wouldn't have been there to, not that the commission couldn't have, but if he wouldn't have been there to help me with my new programs that we switched over to, the new grading programs and things, it would have been very tough. And so, you know, to have another option, you know, through the accessibilities.net is great. I guess my question is, these new companies, they keep selling all this new technology. It keeps getting thrown in. And I'm just meaning the regular technology for the sighted users, like if your business goes to something new, or the state goes to something new, or a school goes to something new. Can't these companies be at least forced to have somebody that learns something about JAWS, or somebody that can at least talk to you and have a clue of what you're talking about, instead of refusing to return your calls? And
in an ideal world,
yeah.
it just is a scandal, because, you know, I knew that when I couldn't get my numbering turned off with it was pointless to call Microsoft.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I don't mean to be picking on a particular company, but or when we went to our new, you know, program that we use at school and so forth, these people never got back to us. And it took some real moving, and my principal, thank God, just says, nope, we're going to do this, and we're going to get a hold of Jonathan, and, you know, it's just mind-boggling that they can't at least know something and try to help you.
Nancy,
yes, go ahead, Nancy.
We do often, when scripting is involved, Jonathan's name will come up.
You
because
bet.
It scripting comes up, what, 2 or 3 times a year statewide?
Uh-huh.
And it is one of those skills that really, honestly, if you don't do it mm-hmm. quite a bit, you don't even know. I took a scripting class for JAWS in, 97 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I would honestly tell you, I probably don't know front from back of it.
Nancy.
Yes.
Just for the computer inept, could you please explain what scripting is?
Scripting is when you take a program that does not want to play well with a screen reader or a magnification product, and what you basically do is you take that screen reader or magnification product and you say, this will be your bosom buddy, and you will work well with it. And that takes some time, and to my knowledge, quite a bit of skill. That
so it's actual programming, then?
Yes. It is programming, okay. Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Okay. Nancy, Julie, it could be something as simple as, like, if you have an application on your computer that has numbers on it, but for some reason JAWS can't get to the numbers or can't read it or whatever, you could program JAWS or Window Eyes to say, at this coordinate, this box of, you know, that is made up of these coordinates on the screen, constantly look at that whenever I press this key and read me the numbers that are in it.
So you're writing a program within a program to
correct.
Do something
yes.
specific.
Right. Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm following you now.
And that is something we will often hire out because we do not have the skills. We don't get at it often enough to maintain the level of skill necessary.
Well, okay, and maybe this is a good thing to discuss, but it seems like that's a more a technical programming thing and not a teaching thing. And I view the staff at the commission as more a resource to the client as teaching skills.
Yeah.
And it seems, in my mind, that should be your focus and not, like, learning programming languages.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem like
thank
that's
you.
Really...
No, I agree. And my point was, I guess, it would be nice of these companies, like, to return Jonathan's calls and, you know, different things like that. And that's what really, you know,
we have no control.
I know, but isn't there something in the law that...
Well, Daryl, there is, sort of, depending uh-huh. on the right circumstances. For instance, there's a law in the state of Nebraska that says that all technology purchased by the state has uh-huh. to be able to be made accessible, but it gets uh-huh. into things about, you know, all the loopholes that are there, and then how
right.
do you enforce that?
Well, that's the state.
Yeah,
that's
and then
not
you,
other
but then you get outside of yeah. state funds and federal funds,
sure.
and you get into private businesses.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I just want somebody to talk to me, not to, you know, I'm not trying to force things. It just, well, I guess they have so many things on their plate. But anyway, all right.
This is Jan again. And Julie, just to address what you were talking about, there's kind of this idea that what we do is we teach JAWS or we teach people how to use Zoom Text or whatever. And actually, our jobs are way bigger than that. There are times when we go into a business, take a look at their computer systems, take a look at whether or not it can be made accessible. If it's not accessible, take a look at the various skills that a person needs to do a job. For example, I recently worked with a man in the Panhandle who owns his own machine business.
And I don't know anything about the machining trade, and I learned that they use things like micrometers and calipers and encoders, and I have no idea what these things do, but I know that there are measurements that need to be taken, and what he could not do was read the measurements. And so we found a little voice box that attaches to the micrometers and the calipers and actually reads out to 1/10,000th of an inch what these tools do. So we do a lot of research in our jobs just trying to find how to maintain employment for people.
Yeah. Right. May I, one of the, right there is why we have technology specialists, because the rehab teachers and the rehab counselors, even to some extent, you're right, they do the teaching, the talking through things, the planning, and the learning blindness skills and understanding blindness, the technology. And so they most of our staff have some basics understanding of the technology and can teach some basics, but the time needed to do that research and to really know kind of a wide range of things, that's why we have technology specialists.
Julie?
Good job.
Yes, Mike.
Nancy, you and I were having a conversation downstairs, and I just want to acknowledge that before the meeting started. I had asked Nancy a question before we got started here today about her and Jan and Larry and how that they are the technology specialists for the commission and in a sense the technology gurus for the commission, and how much they get pulled into things that might, I guess, that I would think normally would be outside of their job description, or at least it's keeping them from doing what we want them doing most of the time, and that was, how much do they end up being the commission's computer techs for things like setting up a new printer for the office staff, or installing Microsoft Office when a new version comes out, or things that aren't necessarily accessible technology related? And Nancy, could you repeat what you told me before?
I think that somewhat depends on the district. Basically, the way it works is if we have the time and the expertise, we will do it. The help desk is expensive. They also have no expertise in our technology. So, for example, if they take a computer in and do what they call a re-image, which is basically format start over, then we get to start over. If what is on extra on that computer is JAWS, that's fine. If it has JAWS, Dragon Naturally Speaking, and a whole bunch of configurations, I may not want them doing that and would prefer to do everything in my power to keep that from happening, because we don't want to have to redo whole bunches of stuff.
By you spending your time doing things that might be outside of what you typically do, you're saving yourself a lot of work later.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Fatosh.
But Mike, I don't think that that's any different than any of us correct agents do.
Well, no.
Right.
You know, I teach Braille. I correspond and teach Braille myself. I probably answer at least a couple of calls a day for technology. So, I mean, when you look at my job description, they are definitely not in there, but I think that's what we do. We work as a team, and whenever it is necessary, we go and take care of.
Yeah, and I guess I wasn't getting at that. I just, I think that with tight budgets and everything, that everybody at the commission, our staff, our treasured resource here at the commission is a finite resource, and we're doing everything we to save money and to do as much as we can with the staff that we have, and I was just guessing that that might happen. I was thinking that that might happen to them a little more often with in the technology area than for instance, other staff members. I'm not saying that there aren't other people that could be doing those things too, but I've heard story, or I in some of the documentation that we were reading that Carlos sent to us, there were comments about, like, the technology team will be the ones to upgrade JAWS when an update comes out because it requires an administrative password to the computers. It sounded like they were the only ones that had the administrative passwords, so therefore if it takes an admin password to do that, then it takes admin passwords to do other things, and if the other so they're going to be the ones that are going to have to get involved to do those things. And I just wanted to hear how much of their time ended up being spent doing those things, just out of curiosity, to see how much it was taking away possibly from servicing the clients.
This is Jan, and I've probably been the most vocal about really wanting to get an in-house technology person, but with budgets the way they are,
sure,
that's not going to happen probably in the near future.
Okay.
But we do primarily maintain the agency computers. And it is time consuming, but if my coworker can't do the job because she doesn't have a working computer, that that's no less important really than other people outside the agency too.
Sure. Okay.
And I think that's fairly common because at school, I mean, we have to do that too. We have to wait for our technology person, and you know, we have to, you know, do some changes and things. Yeah, it really does slow down the process. But,
well, I think it's awesome that there is a technology person to call, because, like, at work, I don't have that. There is no technology person. That's if true. Something breaks down, I have to call an outside third-party company. So that's an improvement.
I had a quick question. When I was in California...
Exactly. Absolutely.
That's what I Okay. I think I'm going to go ahead and move into public comment.
May I just ask a real quick question?
Real quick.
Please. Because when I was in San Francisco, they started talking a lot about the Drag and Dictate. They'd have commercials on that. And other, you know, different speech programs. Has that improved? You know, I'd prefer to type, but there might be blind people, or I'm thinking of, like, learning disabled people who... is there any feasibility to use these kind of programs where they talk and it types, or is it still pretty clunky?
We do have a couple of people who are using that. Mm-hmm. Jan has one in Western Nebraska, mm-hmm. and we have one in-house that uses it. Mm-hmm. It does take quite a bit of tweaking and scripting to get mm-hmm. that to work. The problem that can arise if you don't have extra software or scripts running mm-hmm. is that it is not telling you when corrections pop up, probably isn't reading the phrases that you've said to you, mm-hmm. so that can get messy.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Larry. In regards to that dragon, we had a psychologist in Omaha, mm-hmm. unable to type as RP, so we used Dragon in conjunction with Zoom Text, uh-huh. and she's still on the job a year later. It's working okay. wonderfully right now for her. Dragon,
okay.
like any software, mm-hmm. has issues, uh-huh. but she's learned to work around them and mm-hmm. to use different techniques for different situations, especially the proprietary software the Allegiant uses.
Okay.
But cool. It's been a success.
Wow.
Okay. Kind of rocky, but it was okay. In the end, it's successful.
Interesting.
Julie, I know you want to move on, but did we find the third letter?
No.
No, it's going to be part of the minutes.
Okay.
Just a quick note, I think maybe we already said, but the third letter that was mentioned, the... technology-related letter from the individual will be entered into the written public comments, so you can view that on the website. because we don't have it. All right, we're going to move into public comment. So if there's anyone that hasn't had a chance to ask a question, make a comment, share their feelings, we'd love to hear about it now. It doesn't have to be about technology. It can be about any commission-related topic that you would like to bring up.
Howard Compton.
Yes, Howard.
Ms. Johnson, we in the American Council of the Blind would like to present a letter to go on record with the minutes of today's proceedings, transferring the letter to your secretary now, and both in large print and braille.
Okay, thank you.
I have been asked by my counsel to present this letter to all of you. I beg your indulgence.
You need the mic, Howard.
I have
he
it.
Has.
Oh, you do? Okay.
The letter is dated to yesterday, November the 5th, 2010, to Ms. Julie Johnson, Chairperson, Board of Commissioners, Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, 4600 Valley Road, Suite 100, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68510-4844. To all commissioners, in early 2009, while the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, NCBVI, was planning the second job fair in Omaha, allegation and innuendos of discrimination and abuse of blind employees at Outlook Nebraska Incorporated, ONI, were made public by Nancy Altman, former chairperson of the Board of Commissioners of NCBVI. Based on those allegations and innuendos, the commissioners voted to rescind the invitation, and Outlook Nebraska Incorporated was denied the privilege of participating in the 2009 job fair. Even though communications was received in February of 2010 that the safety issues were resolved to the satisfaction of OSHA, for reasons we do not understand, NCBVI continued to cease referral of job applicants to ONI until recently. It was then announced at the November 21, 2009 meeting of the NCBVI Board of Commissioners by Jeff Altman, the first vice president of the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska and Lincoln chapter member, that the Nebraska Federation of the Blind Incorporated, NFBN, had undertaken legal action against ONI for alleged substandard wages, unsafe substandard working conditions, abuse and discrimination. It was further mentioned that NFBN would like to go to discourage the placement of people in that facility until the issues are resolved. Concerned by this statement without supporting fact to bolster the claim, Commissioner Jim Urok privately encouraged Jeff Altman to seek a structured negotiation so as not to exhaust financial resources that could better the lives of blind Nebraskans. At the February 6, 2010 Commissioners Board meeting, a statement was read by the NFBN designee that the claim is being investigated. NFBN President Amy Burrish made another statement that since the filing of the EEOC suit by NFBN, quote, another employee has been let go, and we feel that action represented retaliation for the employee's advocacy for himself and others. I urge you to keep these things in mind when making any decisions affecting the company and any placement of clients at that entity. See the February 2010 Commissioner Board minutes posted on the NCBVI website. Soon after this statement was read, Commissioner Urok immediately expressed concern about the lack of facts presented to bolster the accusation that warranted an EEOC case, and further went on the record as not supporting the litigation. Additionally, several ACBN members in attendance also expressed concern about the contents of the statement and further expressed their concern about the attempt by NFBN to sway NCBVI's board one way or the other. To the credit of Commissioner Darrell Walla, regarding the letter from NFBN signed by President Amy Burrish, and in his own words, quote, I find this letter repugnant. The NFBN designee found himself in an uncomfortable situation with few answers. in early August prior to the August 14, 2010 Commissioners Board meeting in Hastings, Nebraska, Commissioner Yurok learned the EEOC case filed by NFBN was adjudicated in favor of ONI. At this meeting, designee Mike Hansen was asked the status of the EEOC case. Mr. Hansen responded, quote, "Not much has changed regarding that situation. See the August 14, 2010 NCBVI board meeting minutes." To the best of our knowledge, as of this date, NFBN did not exercise its option and file an appeal with the EEOC. ACBN is very concerned that NFBN was able to convince the NCBVI Commissioners Board to act against ONI without benefit of law. In fact, NFBN acted as judge, jury, and executioner. It has been proven NFBN does possess the ability to sway a Nebraska state agency, as we have seen here. It is ACBN's position that NFBN has the right to file an EEOC case to defend against discrimination in the workplace. However, NFBN does not have the right to tarnish the reputation of a Nebraska company without that benefit, or without the benefit of that company's day in court. We in ACBN are requesting the following issues be addressed and policies written by NCBVI in consultation with the Commissioner's Board, that all employees and commissioners' advocacy or consumer advocacy groups are to abide by in the future. First, any employee of NCBVI or commissioner of NCBVI, regardless of affiliation with an advocacy organization, cannot use their influence to lobby the clients of NCBVI to join or not to join any advocacy group. Second, in the event that charges of any kind are filed against an individual or company in the state of Nebraska, neither NCBVI nor the NCBVI Board of Commissioners Board act positively or negatively until the case and all of the appeals have been adjudicated. Third, in the event an advocacy organization attempts to cause NCBVI or the NCBVI Commissioner's Board to act negatively toward an individual or Nebraska company, that organization will be censured for a period of 6 months from presenting its desires in any form to NCBVI or the Commissioner's Board. Fourth, we think it would be prudent to change the policy regarding employees belonging to advocacy groups. We feel that membership in any advocacy group that lobbies the NCBVI are a conflict of interest. We ask the question, how can NCBVI be fair and impartial when employees Jeff Altman, Amy Burrish, Bob Deaton, Patoche Floyd, Carol Jenkins, Carlos Savan, Cheryl Livingston, Shane Burrish, Jamie Forbish, Mary Davis, Sahar Hussani, Robert Newman, Kathy Brown Hollins, Nancy Kaufman, and Chad Weber are NFBN members? We believe there are others, but cannot identify them at this time. In addition to Commissioner Hansen, Commissioners Altman and Walla are NFBN members as well. Finally, ACBN is requesting a written response from Dr. Pearl Van Zandt and the Commissioners Board of NCBVI by the 15th of December, explaining in detail how and when the above four issues will be addressed and implemented. In closing, it is the opinion of ACBN that the NCBVI Commissioners Board and NCBVI acted improperly and did not follow the principle of law so dear to the American justice system. We are all presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. In meeting assembled October the 20th, this letter was unanimously adopted by the Executive Board of ACBN. Sincerely, Jim Yurok, President, Glendora Weiland, Vice President, Shirley C. Allen, Recording Secretary, Howard B. Compton, Treasurer, Janice Schaefer, Corresponding Secretary, Terry Brenforder, Lincoln Chapter Representative, and Barbara Epworth, Omaha Chapter Representative. And I'm pleased to say to all of you on the Commissioner's Board that every member of this board that agreed to this letter is sitting in this room today. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Madam Chair.
One moment. What, Pearl?
I was telling Hubert that he's done with the microphone.
Oh, okay. Was that Jeff?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Jeff Altman, First Vice President, National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska. I want to give some clarification. The letter presented, first of all, misrepresents the statement I made in November of this past year. I did not at any time make the statement that we were accusing Outlook Nebraska of the things listed in the letter. I stated that these were common things that occurred in sheltered workshop situations. Also, in regard to EEOC, it is public knowledge that a right to sue letter has been issued. And legal action is being taken by the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska. The National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska is an advocacy organization with full rights to present our views and our interests to the Commission for the Blind. And I want to clarify, the Commission for the Blind is a separate organization of the state of Nebraska. They are not beholden to either consumer organization other than to hear our concerns and to then act upon those according to what they believe to be the best interest of the blind of this state. In regard to the legal action that is underway, those who have questions are welcome to contact Scott LaVar, who is the attorney for the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska in this case. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fatosh?
Yes, Fatosh?
I guess I'm going to talk as a staff person of the NCBVI, and the letter very eloquently talked about the belief in this country in the justice system. As a naturalized citizen of this country, I do believe in the American Constitution, which gives me the right as a citizen to belong any organization I want. I do belong to a Turkish organization. I'm a Democrat, and I belong to NFB. And I am proud of it. And I don't believe that any entity have a right to tell me what organization in my private time that I can belong.
Thank you.
This is Connie Daly. And
speak up, please.
Yeah, okay, this is Connie Daly. And the agency's policy or concerns as far as Outlook Nebraska have been the same as they have been for any employer. If a client is interested in applying there, they are given that opportunity and we help them with employment at Outlook. So, during the time that this has gone on, several of our clients have applied or tried out jobs there.
I know it's a public comment, Julie.
No, let's go right ahead.
Because at the time this was all taking place, I was the chairman of this board. I received, and it part of what we do here as the board is, if clients of the commission or other blind people in the community have complaints or they have questions that they think we should be aware of, I was contacted not by one, two, three, four, but five different employees of Outlook Nebraska. And they each told me stories, which they were separate. They each contacted me separately, and I had a chance to speak with each of them. Very lengthy time. Several of them said, please don't mention my name because I'm afraid of being fired. Because of that situation, I thought five people coming to us with a complaint about one place of work, that it was right for the commission board to go tour and see exactly what was going on. We did do that. We had several questions for the manager there. He did come to speak to us later, and several things were answered, not everything to my what I would have expected were answered, but our decision at that time was to leave it in the hands of Nancy Floral and Robert Newman to go and keep closer contacts with Outlook Nebraska, and we very willingly put it in their hands. But when we receive complaints, I think it is our job to go look for that. Never did we recommend anybody sue them. We did not recommend that anybody withhold people from going there. What we did do is say we think it warrants a closer look, and since we are very proud of the staff that we have at the commission in all the areas, why that so? We put it in the hands of Nancy Floral and Robert Newman, since the factory is in the Omaha area, to keep tabs on it and then report back to us. They have done that. So, you know, as far as us saying no more, the commission can't send clients there, that was not a decision this board made. That's all I had to say.
I just want to, just one quick thing, couple things. First of all, this is a democracy, and at the time when we voted or talked about, you know, Outlook coming to the meeting or not, I felt that, you know, they should still be allowed to come. It was like, you know, 3-2 decision or whatever, and that's the way democracy works. And you know, I don't think we have to apologize for anything we did there. We did look at the facts, and you know, this is really a fine line. I mean, yes, I didn't feel that you know, the reading of the letter and not having somebody here at the February meeting when Outlook was presenting, I think there should have been somebody here to talk to them. But neither do I feel it was appropriate when the Outlook people were at the meeting in November. I felt they were putting a pitch in for, you know, look what Outlook's doing for me. You know, it was kind of, I think there's kind of a war that we as commissioners cannot enter into. And, you know, we can hear the complaints and different things like that, but you know, I don't think this is our realm of jurisdiction, nor is it our jurisdiction to keep someone from being an ACB member or an NFB member. I mean, I think that is a right that, you know, anyone has. Just as I have a right as a teacher to be, you know, Democrat, Republican. You know, I just find some issues that I understand people's concerns, but I really don't know that these issues that are mentioned here can be adjudicated. That, you know, we can't change things that much, but, you know, that of course will be up to Dr. Van Zandt and how, you know, we want to respond to that. But
Julie.
Thank you. Let's do Carlos and then Mike, please.
So I just want to mention, most of the stuff was mentioned, but for the records, because my name was also expressed there, I want to echo what Fatosh say. This is a country which was founded in freedom, especially freedom of assembly, and I have the right to belong to anything. Even if the agency tries to tell me not to do it, I will do it, because it's illegal to try to enforce me not to do it. And so I just want to keep it in the records. As a deputy director, there were a few times in which I talked to counselors. I don't think we need to send our clients to such a business. It wasn't Outlook, it was other, or there were other businesses, because we knew or we had information that they didn't believe on the treatment of blind people. So it's not just things that we do with Outlook Nebraska. We did it to other businesses. And with Outlook Nebraska, we didn't stop referring clients. We just didn't close them successful. That's the main difference. I just wanted to mention that for the record.
Yes, thank you. Sorry, Mike, I'm going to
move ahead.
Thank you. The only action that the board has ever taken in regard to Outlook Nebraska is the vote to not allow them at the employment workshop. And that was a vote, and it was the majority decision that it was not in the client's best interest to have Outlook Nebraska at that time. I voted in favor of not having them at that employment workshop. My reasoning was because there were too many questions in my mind. Mm-hmm. There were too many unknown things, and I felt that I needed to have more information before I felt comfortable in promoting people being employed there. That's not a legal decision. That's an opinion-based decision. So I don't feel that there was any need for a legal due process for proof of anything. It was strictly my opinion, and I stand by that these months later. I had another thought, and now it's gone. We'll go to Mike.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just two things. I know that one of the things that Eric was upset about when he came and spoke to us in Omaha in January of last year was that when the commission closes a case for a client that was placed in at Outlook Nebraska, and this is what Carlos was just referring to, that it is closed unsuccessfully, and that is because of the type of employer of that Outlook Nebraska is, and that's not a negative thing. It is that they are, help me out here.
It's not competitive employment.
It's not competitive employment.
Integrated.
It's not integrated competitive employment. They are working underneath some laws that help them to operate, but they have to have a certain percentage of blind employees. They have to meet that. They have a quota, basically.
Yes.
And that's why they're not a competitive employer, and that's why the cases are closed unsuccessfully. Now, it's them being closed unsuccessfully is not meant to be a negative thing. It's by the Commission for the Blind here in Nebraska. Well, it's the way that the federal law is written.
Exactly. And that was the second thing that I wanted to mention. It's not, that wasn't even an agency decision. That's a federal.
When Eric was here in January, he had researched it a little bit because being where Outlook Nebraska is located in Omaha, of course he has employees from both Iowa and Nebraska. I believe I'm going on the assumption that he has employees from Iowa.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that in, I believe his comment was that in Iowa, the Agency for the Blind in Iowa does not close their cases and deem them unsuccessful closures. But that is they have a different interpretation of how that law is written on how they're supposed to close their cases. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not going to say that what we're doing that it's right. But what I will say is that I have faith that Carlos and Pearl and Bob have taken the time to make sure that is correct, and that I believe that we are doing it properly. But it's not meant to be a negative thing against Outlook Nebraska. Now, that was my comment about that part of it. My second comment was that I would like to echo what a couple people have said here about membership in organizations. Now, as professional people, as adults, we need to be able to separate different aspects of our lives and our, we have different responsibilities to different areas of our life. That might be that a staff member here at the commission has their responsibilities to the commission, and they have separate responsibilities to the NFB. They can coexist. They have to be able to separate that, and I believe that that's very easily done. It happens here on the commission board. I am the designee of the NFB, and Jim Urok is the designee of the ACB. But because we are serving on the commission board, but we are also members of an organization, a consumer organization, there are things that we have to do to separate those roles apart. I might be here to represent the interests of the NFB, but there are things that I cannot do that somebody in my organization might like to see me do, because it's information, it would be acting on information that I have solely because I'm a member of the Board of Commissioners. I can't take that information that I have, that privileged information that I have been, that I have access to here, and that I there's no other way that I would have had access to it, and act upon that in my role as an officer of the National Federation of the Blind in the State of Nebraska. I can't do that. I don't feel that that's something that I can do. And I'm sure that Jim feels the same way. Mm-hmm. And that's how the staff of the Commission for the Blind also has to act. And I know that they do that. So, Julie.
Yeah.
I do feel a little bit slighted in that, you know, my name was mentioned as an NFB member. I actually joined ACB too, just to be, since I'm an at-large member, just to kind of hear both sides, and so I don't have to run for an office for either agency, either group. Just joking on that one. But, you know, I don't know what that agency organization membership, I do find that somewhat repugnant and insulting to have brought that into this, and I'm really disappointed that we had to get to this point. And that's just, you know, my true feelings.
Okay. Other comments?
I have one.
And you are, I'm sorry?
I am Janice Compton.
Oh, yes.
I am an ONI employee. And I will say that as in any workplace, you know, there will be people who are more happy or less happy for various reasons. I know for a fact that the overwhelming majority of the employees of ONI are happy, contented, and pleased with their positions with the company. And I am not sure at what point a set number of people who are disgruntled, when that becomes a problem or a company is viewed negatively, because you're never going to have 100% satisfaction anywhere that you work. But I do know that the overwhelming majority of people are happy, and so.
Mike.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike?
Janice, I have a question for you real quick.
Yes.
Because you mentioned that you are an ONI employee.
Yes.
Is ONI, do they have an abundant number of positions open that haven't been able to be filled for a long period of time? Are they having trouble finding other, you know, employees to come and work there? And the reason I'm asking is that I understand why the letter was written that the ACB has brought forward. You guys appreciate the services that appreciate what ONI has done for blind people in the Omaha area, and you do not want to see their name tarnished. And perhaps there were things I would like to say that I think perhaps there were things that were problems in the past, but that they were, and Eric even admitted to that when he came and spoke to us in January last year, but they were things that were that he believes that they have been rectified, and you would like to see that those you know, like that acknowledged, and that their name is not tarnished, and that they continue on. But and I thought that we had, that the commission had dealt with that, meaning that we had that we had explained the policies to Eric as far as how the, you know, how cases are marked when they're closed, and how we go about referring people there, that it is something that you know, that any client that wishes, that is in, that comes forward and expresses an interest in working either specifically at ONI, or comes forward and says that they have an expressed desire to work someplace, and that maybe they don't give ONI as the name of the place they'd like to work at, but that type of a job, and that the commission is happy to refer them there, and that I think that has been clearly stated. I understand the, you know, that there is that the ACB would have a grievance with the NFB for a lawsuit that's still going pending, but what about it being brought up here today? Is ONI hurting for employees? Do you feel that we're turning people away, and you have the commission is turning people away, that we have you have jobs that aren't being filled because we're turning people away, and it's hurting ONI because of that?
No. As far as I know, we're not having any problems filling jobs, because we do get applicants from, you know, from different sources.
Okay.
We have people walk in, so no.
Okay.
If that was your question, just are we having problems?
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
It took not a while to my knowledge.
It took a while to get there, Janice, but that was the question.
Yeah, that was the question. Thank you.
Madam Chairman.
Yes, Pearl.
Okay, this is Pearl. I just do want to restate that really we, our counselors, don't just refer clients to employers for jobs. We take, as Mike indicated, we do, you know, work with the individuals on what type of employment they want, what their employment goal is, when the different businesses fit that goal, which includes Outlook Nebraska. We do, our counselors, take clients to a variety of employers, including Outlook Nebraska. Connie mentioned that earlier. Nancy Fleurl is not here, but I know that that's the case for Omaha counselors in particular, because it's Omaha. So we do take people for tours and interviews and so on at a number of different employers. The thing that is interesting is that in most cases, the employers, whether they do or an employer that hires one of our clients, they don't know what status our internal, you know, what we have to call the, whether it's, unfortunately, the word successful or unsuccessful is a, clearly unsuccessful is negative, so. But that's an internal thing. It relates to the federal law, the way the Rehab Act is set up. And we don't discuss that with employers. If you're my client and I take you to Outlook Nebraska, and that's the job you want, I'm going to help you get that job. So, you know, anyway, I just did want to say that, because that is very much true. We do that. And the actual status of closure when a person gets a job, it's not
any of the, it's not the business of the employer to know, you know, I mean, and it's irrelevant in a way, and we really preach to our counselors that we also don't kind of hang that over a person's head either. We don't tell the client, well, yeah, you can work there, but it's going to be unsuccessful. Mm-hmm. We really do not do that. So, no. You know, that's all.
Right, I would guess that most clients don't even know.
No, they don't. I don't think.
You know, the different status levels and what those mean. And it's really irrelevant for their services.
It is. When a person's case is closed, we do write a letter because that's part, we're required to do that. But we've worked over the years at the language of the letter so that it doesn't, if they do close for a quote unsuccessful reason, we don't want to be saying to them, you are a failure. That's not what we want to say, no matter what the situation is, because they've succeeded at working toward their goal, and that's the thing.
Right.
So,
okay.
Two quick things, and we can wrap this up. Number one, Jeff, you might want to go back and read the minutes of the last year, because that was taken from the website. So if that's inaccurate, you might want to talk to Kathy about that, because she wrote it up. Number two, Kathy.
And the board approved.
And the board approved. And the board approved the minutes. Number two, Kathy, as Howard said, please make this a part of the record, and that's all I have to say.
Madam Chair.
The minutes. The notes. The letter, a part of the minutes.
Yes,
of course.
Can I have it electronically?
You'll have it when I get home, after the football game.
Okay. Stop. You're requesting that the letter be a part of the minutes?
That's exactly right.
Or the what you just said?
No, the letter.
The letter, okay.
The letter. If we're going to do that for NFB, we'll do it for ACB.
Well, absolutely. Any material that comes to the public meeting does become a part of the record, so it doesn't have to be asked.
I understand.
It's
right,
there.
But I was misunderstanding. I thought he wanted his statement to be specifically stated.
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, Kathy, was that your question? Or did you?
No, she asked her question. She wanted the letter electronically.
You'll have it after the football game.
Okay, we'll go to Jeff, and then I'm going to try and wrap this up.
Right.
Okay, go ahead, Jeff.
What I wanted to ask of Pearl or Carlos in regard to the unsuccessful closure, can you please explain to folks what happens in regard to Social Security when the agency chooses to have an unsuccessful closure?
Nothing.
Okay. And
it's not true with them.
Right, but when the agency has a successful closure, there is the potential to receive a reimbursement from Social Security. Is that not correct?
Yes.
Well, the Social Security doesn't care about the name unsuccessful or successful. They care about how much money.
Excuse me, a question was, what is closure? We're talking about when somebody is a client of this agency, they complete their employment goal, then they are closed as a client. So you don't have to be a client for a long time. You can be if we continue to work with you in a substantive way. But so closure, when we're talking about that, means you're not a client, an active client of the agency anymore.
Right, but for actual services, that case open and case closed, it really doesn't make any difference to you as a blind person to get assistance. If you have a job and you're working and everything's great for 6 months and then something changes, you get a new job responsibility and you need help with that, you just call up the agency. They'll do the paper. You probably will never even know. They'll reopen your case at post-employment or a new case if that's necessary, whatever they need to do. But it really, it's an internal thing. It's necessary for funding and for bookkeeping and for tracking, but it's not anything that affects your services at all.
Howard Compton?
Yes.
Madam Chair, before I relinquish here, I just wanted to clarify a couple things. Kathy Stevens, I would like to have that part of the minutes corrected. I was not aware that it was...
It's on the recording of the minutes. If it's the record, I cannot change it.
I understand. Okay.
So make sure you're accurate.
You know, excuse me. We have used the terms minutes and recording interchangeably. And even earlier when it was said you could go to the website to hear the minutes, the recording, as much as the technology allows, gets every word that people are saying. The minutes and the recording is on the website. It's all digital now, and we've been able to do that. The minutes do not get every word people are saying. They are written up. I think you're all familiar with what minutes are. The board reviews the minutes to try to get it as accurate as possible before it goes to the website. Then for 3 months, the draft minutes are on the website, and at each meeting people can speak to either a correction or an addition to the minutes. And then the board votes, as we did at the beginning, to finalize those minutes. But the minutes and the recording are not the same. Anyway, thank you.
That was my understanding. Yeah. My concern was the interpretation of what was on the recording.
Just want to make sure I read your notes.
Okay.
Can we
is that everything, Jim?
Howard had something, and then Howard had something. And then
we'll make it forward. Okay.
To the commissioner's board, I ask you this question. What actual fact and information did you have in order to make the decision you made to withdraw the invitation to ONI when you made that decision? Did you have any court proof that they had done these things?
No, and in my mind, there's none needed. It wasn't a legally binding decision. It was an invitation.
While I agree, I thought we should have had them there, the idea was they had been there before. It wasn't like we were, you know, they hadn't originally been invited. Some other groups had, and then they called, I think, to be invited, and then somebody, I guess it was considered that we would invite them, and then so yeah, it was not any decision that we were doing anything illegal.
Yeah.
I would have still preferred, once they said somebody said they could come, that we would have let them, but we were perfectly within our rights not to let them or to rescind the invitation, and I don't lose any sleep over that.
I'm sorry, Commissioner, but that was not the question. The question is, what actual facts did you have to make the decision?
We have the information given to Nancy.
We had five people.
It's all hearsay.
These were people that worked there.
There was hearsay information that was transferred by you to the rest of the board, and they acted.
No. Actually, two of them were actually known because they allowed me to use their name. The other three asked me not to. Two people that we had, it wasn't all strictly from me. It was there were several things going on all at the same time. And it was a question in my mind, which is one of the reasons we decided to go check it out ourselves. And when we did do that, I've forgotten Eric's last name, but
Stucraft.
He indicated that things had changed from the time that I had received this information and the time that we came there to visit. He admitted to that. Other questions that we had for him that day, he was not able to answer for us. But it was not, you know, it wasn't just based on what Nancy Altman heard. Some of the names were given to the board too, and frankly, I didn't think his answers at that meeting were completely fulfilled questions that I had. And when he came here that day, the same thing occurred. I was not completely. Now, I'm speaking for myself. I have no right to speak for the other board members. But there still were questions there. And the fact that what Daryl said, he basically called and invited himself, and they made the decision to go ahead and have him come. He was not originally invited. He basically called and invited himself and made the decision to call him, and then after I received the complaints, that's when we made these decisions. So there was several things going on all at the same time, but it was not strictly hearsay from me. There were names given out. So, and I, you know, I agree with disgruntled employees. You're going to find that wherever you work, you're going to find people that will say it's wonderful, even if it isn't. You're going to find people that will, if I have a complaint, I'll make it, and if I'm happy, I'll make that too. And then you're going to have find people that no matter where they work, they're going to find complaints that they need to make. If one person or even two people had called me and contacted me, I would have still had reason for doubt. But the fact that there were five people began to make me a little bit leery, you know, that we need to investigate this a little bit more.
Okay. Let's wrap it up. With all due respect, as the spokesman for ACBN today, we request an answer to our letter by December 15th. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. I am going to close public comments, and we're going to... I need a break. We're
so
going to break, and we will come back in 15 minutes and resume then.